Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. Well, it's midweek. How's it going for you so far? What'd you get out of the word today? What did God speak to your heart about? What are you supposed to be doing for Him today? Oh, I know you got some plans there, right? Make sure that God is first on the list and what He has for you. Maybe somebody you need to witness to today and tell them about Jesus. Maybe He's burdened your heart about helping someone in some way, physically doing something, or maybe they need some funding and you have a little extra there. It's a great part of that Christian walk, my friend, doing as the Lord commands. By the way, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe in Him. Are you being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ? Read your Bible today? Prayed, especially for others today? And you're going to serve Him if you haven't already. Going to serve people in and out of the local church. And then we're going to talk about relationships at the end of the program today. It's a very, very important message for all of us. Some reminders that we need. And then what kind of a church are you in? Do they preach and teach the Word of God solidly? Well, amen. Yep. It's a happy way to live, being saved and serving Jesus. Amen. What in the world is going on? Multiple people shot following an altercation. Where? Just pick your spot in America, but this one comes up all the time. Chicago, Illinois, last night, one dead, at least six people injured. The shooting took place in Washington Park near a baseball game after two groups of individuals had an apparent altercation. According to the Chicago Police Department, at least four people taken into custody. At least four people taken to the University of Chicago Medical Center, three people in critical condition. The shooting came as that city continually experiencing a crime wave. A recent disturbing video shows a woman in Chicago's North Side screaming while being tackled and robbed at gunpoint. So this horror story continues. Those crazies are out there killing and robbing and shooting and raping people and, you know, you're not allowed to do anything about it. Yeah, where's my gun? You can't have one. The people who have the guns, those young, crazy men, for the most part, out there, they're in charge. One of the most violent elements in all of our society always, young, crazy men. The people with the least to lose, the shortest time horizons, haven't had time to grow up yet. The shallow mind of impulse control, yeah, people like that. Have all the power in the United States of America where there is a flood of evil, and you got nothing going for yourself. Just like Joe Obama is thinking, everything you have belongs to them. That's the end, isn't it? Jesus coming soon? Going back to Chicago, you probably heard last Friday, just before noon, 30-year-old man came out of a gym there, and he was accosted. In one of the nicest parts of the city called Bucktown. Yeah, everybody wants to live there. Very expensive. Most people think of Bucktown. It's a great place to be, really. Local news accounts suggest a very different reality there. Shots were fired during a robbery. Man shot during robbery. And there's one story after another they're not talking about. This guy probably wasn't thinking of armed robbery as he walked out of the gym. Broad daylight. Weekday, car pulls up next to him, three young men jump out, stick a gun in his face, and attempt to rob him and end up shooting him. Can you imagine what that is like? In Chicago right now, taxpayers are more likely to be the victims of crime than criminals are to be punished for crime. So the question is, why would anyone want to pay any taxes in Chicago? Chicago, there's no bang for the buck. Zippo. Crazy people will be running things. Well, they already are. How'd this all happen? Hey, have you ever heard of the name? Of course you have. George Soros? Ooh, what a communistic. Well, that's another story. Very rich one, by the way. He paid for all that to happen in Chicago, didn't he? He backed a prosecutor called Kim Fox, who turned Chicago over to the most vicious people who live there. Not decent folks. Not good conservative people. Not Christians. Nope, bad people in all the neighborhoods. The most vicious antisocial human beings on the face of the earth, the ones who truly don't care about anything but themselves, who are willing to kill anybody and everybody for their shoes or maybe their car. The worst people are running things in Chicago. It's the new America. It's a flood of evil. Hey, how's it going in Seattle? Let's defund the police up there. Most cops saying it's insane in Seattle. Enough is enough. Seattle struggling with its lowest police staffing in, what, the last three decades? They believe officers are retiring, resigning at higher rates because the profession has been demonized in recent years. Oh, absolutely. Seattle's history of defunding the cops and continued lack of support from the media, the left-leaning loonies, and the local lefty officials have an unappreciated police force. And that's happening in many parts of the country. And we are paying a big price. Who in the world, other than some demonic nutcase, would think that it's a good idea to defund the police? My, oh my. All over the country, cops frustrated, leaving their department in droves. And you know it's true. Well, I'm trying to figure out what is wrong with this picture. An Iowa teenage sex trafficking victim. The victim stabbed her rapist to death, sentenced by a judge yesterday to 5 years of closely supervised probation. Got to pay $150,000 restitution to the rapist family. This is insane. Piper Lewis, 17, stabbed her abuser, 37-year-old Zachary Brooks, 30 times in June of 2020, initially charged with first-degree murder. Last year, she pleaded to involuntary manslaughter and willful injury. Now, this guy was a sex trafficker. He had been raping her. She kills him. She has 5 years probation, closely supervised, and has to pay his family $150,000. Where's my gun? So, you buying this electric thing? I don't think so, Tim. Biden's going to attend an auto show in Detroit, Michigan today, where he will tour the newest models in the auto manufacturer's electric vehicle portfolio. It's going to announce a new infrastructure plan to make driving electric vehicles more accessible to everyone. That's wonderful. Biden, who's a vintage car enthusiast and owner of a 67 Corvette Stingray, is going to meet with dozens of automakers at the North American International Auto Show to boast about the Inflation Reduction Act. What a joy. A recently signed climate and health care law that offers tax incentives for buying electric vehicles and other nonsense. Joe. What do you know? As usual, nothing. Boy. A huge sidebar. 900 million electric vehicle infrastructure overhaul. That's what he's going to be talking about. The plan comes as Biden has already announced a nearly $85 billion in private sector investments because of this infrastructure law, Inflation Reduction Act. Yeah, you know my thought there. Well, he's kind of in the hot seat, talking about Twitter's former security chief. He testified before Congress yesterday. Social media platform Twitter has foreign agents embedded within its ranks, and that the company's security around its user data is particularly vulnerable to exploitation. Peter Mudge-Zadko, 51-year-old cybersecurity expert, a real expert, became a whistleblower in July after the social media platform fired him. On Tuesday, appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee with concerns that foreign countries had infiltrated the company's employee ranks. He alleged these foreign agents were then gaining unabated access to the personal information of 238 million daily users. I wonder how long it's going to be before China takes over America. It is coming, you know, unless there's some big changes. From our news you can really use department, being your most productive self doesn't necessarily mean you got to do more. According to an author of a new book out there, Celeste Headlee, a journalist, a radio talk show host at the National Book Festival in Washington, discusses her book, Do Nothing, How to Break Away from Overworking, Overdoing, and Underliving. What do you think about that? I think I like it. She said that making changes that were supposed to help her become less overwhelmed, such as like, well, being her own boss, as an example, it didn't work, actually made her life worse. In a society in which it's common for workers to feel as if they're overdoing it, especially at a time of remote work and the challenge of separating work and leisure, Headley offered some tips on avoiding burnout. Her first piece of advice, remember, you're only a human being with human limitations. I often tell people, all you can do is all you can do. You can't manufacture more time and sleep a few hours a night and say, this is going to work. You can rise and grind, as they call it, all you want, she said, but there's only so much thought you can accomplish over a 24-hour period. I would agree with that, Miss Headley. And here's her main point. After working more and more and more, trying to get more and more done, it's literally counterproductive. Headley also suggested avoiding unnecessary screen exposure. Oh, yeah, that includes the urge to check work-related emails or instant messages on a constant basis. We kind of made fun of one another down at WHCB during the fall fundraiser. Several of us gathered around a table down there, guys from Southwest Radio Church and their wives and this preacher. And we were all on our cell phones a lot. Yep. Slow down. That's the adage. You move too fast. Got to make the day last. Huh? Something to think about. Oh, what is Walmart doing now? This is going across the country. Not only do you have to check yourself out, rumor has it you're going to have to be unloading trucks there at the local Walmart distribution center very soon. Well, they're going to ban shoppers. This is true. Going to ban shoppers from the everyday practice of those bags. Going to hit millions of customers with a hidden fee. You want a bag? 10 cents. The multinational retail corporation Walmart announced a major policy change that requires shoppers to bring their own bags to Walmart in some states. It'll go coast to coast. Customers who are unaware of that policy will be shocked. They're going to charge you a dime for one of those plastic bags. I have hundreds of them down in the basement in the box. I'll lend you some. Good grief, Charlie Brown. Hey, how's the weather in your neck of the woods? Going to get warm here in Fort Wayne. My wife said yesterday, maybe we got to take the air conditioners out. It's going up into the 90s later this week and early next week. Speaking of heat.
Okay, they're out of their minds. I'm all for helping out where I can, but I don't think this one is going to work for me. To keep your home cool with central air conditioning while also optimizing energy efficiency and therefore any cost, you need to keep the temperature in your home at 78 degrees Fahrenheit or higher. What? The suggestion comes from Energy Star, a federal program managed jointly by the Department of Energy and the Environmental Protection Agency that provides info to consumers about energy efficiency practices. Ain't gonna do it. This summer, record-breaking heat waves becoming the norm, finding ways to beat the heat without busting your budget. Ah, yes. And how about when you sleep? You should set it at 82 while you're sleeping. Yep, they've lost their ever-loving minds. I wonder how many of you older in our radio audience today remember days of no air conditioning? Oh, I do. We didn't have it growing up. Yes, lay there in bed in the summertime and just sweat. That was terrible. Yeah, we're really spoiled today, aren't we?
And finally, one of our Facebook friends here in Fort Wayne, Cindy, has a great idea. I'd like to know where all these alleged people are who are complaining about the extra garden produce. I want to befriend them. Anyone who wants to secretly leave zucchini and tomatoes on my doorstep and make a run for it, you're welcome to do so. I like that. For all the electric car buffs, it's getting cold. Winter is coming. And according to a new study by Consumer Reports, you could lose 25 to 40% of your range during cold weather in that electric car. Okay. Wait a minute. What's that you say? They never gossip about how you help them? Well, now that's a point. Celebrating birthday, anniversary, God bless you. Congratulations. Hurting? Someone sick, lost a loved one, pet? Oh, you have our sympathy, my friend. We're all in this thing together. Don't forget that. Praying for you. Okay, where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this important message.
Well, I gotta say, it's been exciting, one person after another. Yeah, friending us on Facebook. Thanks so much, people from all over the area, and the wonderful things you're saying. Oh my goodness, I appreciate it very much. That's Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. It's so good to have you on board. You haven't made it yet? Do it today. Yeah, get in touch right now, and let's be friends. All over Tennessee, parts of Kentucky, North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia. Oh, this is neat.
We're going to talk about relationships in just a moment here, but yeah, thank you so much for joining me on Facebook until we can find something better. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Oh, you want to hear past programs, by the way? You can hear them all the way back for the last 2-3 years. That would be gregpatton.com. Again, just being there, really big deal, and we thank you. Well, I was reminded afresh and anew, always do, going down to Tennessee, how many friends we have down there. It was great. Told a whole bunch of people came Sunday morning and a lot Sunday night. So we preached at the First Free Will Baptist Church in Elizabethton. Thank you, folks.
Well, I think this is a real important message. How are you in your relationships, family, friends, there at church? You know, most people say that relationships are the most important thing to them as far as life goes. In any other facet of life, nothing is as important as a real relationship. What kind of goals do you have for relationships, or do you even think about it? Probably not. We all have relationships that could definitely be improved. And often the missing ingredient is a long overdue apology. There you go. Let me ask you something. Why is it so hard for you and I to apologize to someone? We have a natural tendency to gloss over what we've done wrong. Really, we do. We may hope that if we don't acknowledge how self-centered or thoughtless we've been, no one's going to take any notice. No one's going to reproach us for that. You know, ironically, the opposite is true. Others are hesitant to forgive when we don't seem to really get it. After all, aren't we likely to just hurt them again? Do you think men and women have different apology languages? In the book entitled The Five Love Languages, Dr. Gary Chapman made an intriguing suggestion that in order to be heard by other people, we need to speak not in our natural language or giving and receiving love, but in the language of the listener. Now, that's good. That really is. The premise is also true when it comes to the way that we give and receive apologies. Have you ever tried to apologize to someone only to be rebuffed? Bet you have. It may be that you were speaking your own language to them, one foreign to the other person. Learning to give the most successful apology can begin with asking people you care about what they most need to hear to feel someone has actually apologized to them. Understanding their personal language will give you targeted apologies that hit the mark and impart the full measure of your sincerity. You know, for men, being accurate and winning the debate, whatever it is the primary importance in life. Did you know that? To the woman, feelings. Of course, feelings are the central importance. Women say in those husband-wife disputes that even though the guy apologizes, the woman, she needs to hear that he's concerned about the way she feels. Perhaps you're thinking today, hey, what if I don't want to apologize? We may lack the motivation to overcome our pride. That's a big problem in any Christian community, any church today, to give up our desire to be right and to apologize. We may try to avoid shame and preserve our self-image. That's so important to us, isn't it? It may be easier to pretend that we haven't really done anything wrong, to sweep that thing under the rug and maintain that childlike notion that if we don't face something, it really isn't there, it's gone. Unfortunately, though, glossing over our faults just seems to foster more and more resentment. Jesus Christ died because we all miss the mark in life. We need Him, Jesus Christ, to save us from our bondage to sin. It's only when we humbly acknowledge our sin that we can embrace the fullness of God's mercy, both mercy from God, I guess, and from other people. Those cheap apologies yield cheap grace. We must move beyond our old patterns to embrace true understanding and true forgiveness today. The Scripture repeatedly tells us of the importance of an apology. If we claim to be without sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. By the way, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:32. If we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:8-9. He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Confess your sins, there we go, one to another. Have you done that? Have you ever done that? Confess your sins to another and pray for one another so that you will be healed, says James 5:16. When you feel the Holy Spirit's conviction and sensing his call to apologize, you ought to act with an urgency. Do your part. Do it now to repair that problem, whatever the rift is. One woman says her 7-year-old son loves to build models, and he was delighted to come across an unopened box from her husband's childhood. And after all those years, an unassembled wooden model of the Wright brothers' airplane still lay tucked away in a closet at the grandparents' home. The plane was very intricate. I watched from a distance as he and my husband assembled the pieces that looked no bigger than matchsticks. Before it was complete, they ran out of time and set the model in a basket on top of the refrigerator for the glue to dry. Sadly, the safe place was not entirely visible to this vertically challenged short mother. I continued to toss books and papers into the basket as usual, and soon they discovered that their very special project had crumpled back into little like toothpicks under the weight of my deposits in the basket. He no longer likes for me to scoop him up into my arms, but I wanted to show him my sorrow that I was really sorry for what I'd done, so I put my arms around him and told him how sorry I was. I'm sorry. I crushed his treasure. It's important to note that even though I hadn't intended to harm anything, I still needed to take responsibility for the damage I had done. In addition to reassuring my son of my love, despite my carelessness, I need to either find him a new airplane or learn how to put toothpicks together in a meaningful way and help rebuild this airplane. Question is, anybody got glue here? Yep, a sincere apology is a really precious gift, communicating to the receiver that he or she is deeply valued. Further, it smooths the path of true forgiveness and reconciliation. May you surprise someone today with humility and boldness and transparency as you apologize. How does that sound? Oh, I know it's a toughie. Resolve to repair that relationship today. Pray about it, and then do it. And finally caught myself there watching PBS and some of the oldies groups were performing. I discovered middle age, and I'm past that, is when you recognize the classic songs of the past have now been turned into
background for commercials, cars, pizzas. What happened?
I'm way beyond that. I'm not sure what the songs I listen to have been turned into. Most of today's music I do not understand. That's it for another day. Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Every day at this time, Monday through Friday, it is our honor, our pleasure to join you here. Support us if you can through prayers and finances. We desperately need it all the time, and thank those of you that already do. You are a big help. What can I say?
Happy say for another day. That's the way it is. Wednesday, September 14th, 2022. God bless. Enjoy the remainder of your day.